SFM, jou streek, jou frekwensie, jou musiek.
Kus tot kruin, jou weeklikse blik op die omgewing, word met trots geborg deur Sandpiper Cottages, Bochums Bay, want hier gee ons om vir jou en vir die omgewing.
Good morning, Fred Robin, yeah. Once again, we have your weekly program on Kus tot kruin, and we have with us this morning Stephanie Nicolaides. Now, those of you that know the surname will know that it is from Zorba country. She's a PhD researcher with a fascinating study happening right here in El Mosso Bay. Stephanie, tell us a bit about yourself and what inspired you to pursue this research.
Thank you so much, Fred. It's great to be here. So I'm a PhD candidate in conservation biology at the University of the Western Cape, under the supervision of Professor Anusha Rajkaran, and she's a leading researcher in the field of coastal ecology. Mm-hmm. So my research is looking at something that we all interact with on a daily basis, plastic. More specifically, plastic pollution, and how it affects our coastline and oceans. So the ocean has always been a place of beauty, mystery, and life, and it plays a vital role in regulating our climate on the planet, obviously, supporting marine biodiversity, and sustaining coastal communities. But in recent years, I think we can all say that plastic pollution has made its way into even the most pristine marine environments, turning once unspoiled ecosystems into dumping grounds for waste.
That's for sure, and that's why we're so pleased to have you here with your research.
Thank you. So scientists have studied the effects of plastic pollution for years, but what often gets left out is the perspective of people who rely on the ocean every single day.
Absolutely.
So fishermen, coastal communities like here in Mossel Bay, and those working in marine industries. So that's why I wanted to explore how bad is the plastic pollution problem in Mossel Bay? Where is it ending up and how is it impacting not just the ocean, but the people who depend on it?
Yeah, this is quite a subject, and we all know that plastic is something bad, but we can't do without it. Before we dive deeper, we can define microplastics. What exactly are they and why should we be concerned? Can we continue just after the music?
For sure.
Word deel van ons Facebookblad vandag nog, facebook.com/sfmstreek.
Well, we've had our break and we've got Stephanie Nicolaides with us doing a PhD research on plastic pollution. What exactly and why should we be concerned?
That's a great question, Fred. So microplastics are the tiny troublemakers of the ocean. These are plastic particles that are smaller than 5 millimeters in size. So if you can imagine, that's basically anything from a grain of sand or the sesame seed in size that we can't even see with the naked eye, small enough to even breathe in. So there are two types of microplastics.
Yep.
We've got primary microplastics. These are small by design and are found in things like face scrubs, synthetic clothing fibers that shed in the washing machine, and plastic pellets used in manufacturing.
It looks like we've got nothing that doesn't contain plastic.
Essentially.
Even face scrubs.
That's it.
Ladies, take care.
And then we've got secondary microplastics. So these come from larger plastic items that break apart over time. So think about plastic bags, bottles, and even fishing gear that all slowly degrade in the sun and waves. And because these items are so small, they end up everywhere, floating in the ocean, being ingested by marine animals, and ultimately in the seafood we eat.
Yeah, and that includes mussels, oysters. Why has plastic pollution become such an urgent issue, especially in South Africa, Stephanie?
So plastic is everywhere, as you said, and the problem isn't just how much we use, but where it ends up. So in South Africa, for example, we generate about 2.4 million tons of plastic waste every year.
Unreal.
And only 14% of this gets recycled. What happens to the rest? Well, it finds its way into landfills, rivers, and ultimately our ocean. So with South Africa, we've got a coastline that's about more than 2,700 kilometers long.
Mm-hmm.
And our rich marine ecosystems are at serious risk. Studies have found high levels of microplastic in seafood, which obviously raises questions about what's ending up on our plates. The tricky part? Plastic doesn't just disappear. It breaks down into microplastics and lingers in our environment for centuries. and keeps on accumulating. So my research is focusing on how these microplastics are entering marine ecosystems and what impact they're having. Because if we don't tackle the problem now, it's only going to get worse.
Evie, you've chosen Mossel Bay
yes.
as your study area.
Uh-huh.
Can we just, before the music, just tell us why and then we'll carry on just after the next break.
That's great. Let's delve into that.
Why did we choose Mossel Bay as your study area?
So Mossel Bay is honestly the perfect case study for this research. Here's why. It's one of South Africa's richest marine biodiversity hotspots with yep. key fisheries, a thriving marine tourism industry, and important ecosystems, obviously.
Yep.
Mossel Bay's got a mix of urban and natural coastal environments. So you can study how plastics behave in busy areas like the harbour here in Mossel Bay compared to quieter, more remote beaches. And then obviously the fishing community in Mossel Bay is very strong. And the experiences of fishermen are key to understanding the human side of the plastic pollution problem too.
I'm so glad that you're bringing the fishermen on board.
Definitely.
Can we go on just after the break and we'll carry on with where you have ended up with the fishermen?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Psst, jy, ja jy, nou dat ons jou aandag het, vertel jou vriende van SFM en ondersteun plaaslik. SFM maak elke dag 'n goed vol dag. SFM.
Righto, we're speaking to Stephanie Nicolaides. Very interesting conversation and very, very important.
Thank you.
Stephanie, how exactly are you collecting your data?
Great question. So to sum it up, my research has three main components. So firstly, there's beach surveys. So I collect sand and seawater samples from different beaches around Mossel Bay to analyze where microplastics are gathering and how they are moving with tides and human activity.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's marine biota analysis. Big words there. So that essentially involves studying marine species like mussels, sardines, and hake to check how much microplastic they are consuming and how it's making their way up the food chain.
Into our stomachs.
Yes, essentially. And then we've got a human engagement aspect as well. So this involves me talking and interviewing local fishermen, both in the commercial and recreational space, to understand how they're seeing things. They know the ocean better than anyone, and their input is obviously invaluable.
Well, this obviously has a lot to do with ghost fishing tackle, which we're coming to as well. But you mentioned working closely with fishermen. Why is their perspective so important?
That's another great question. So anglers, or fishermen, are obviously on the front lines of this issue, whether they realize it or not. These are people who spend hours and even days on the ocean, and they're noticing small changes that science alone might miss.
Yep.
So commercial fishermen have found plastic debris in their nets and even inside fish, and recreational anglers are seeing more litter in the water and how it impacts the quality of their fishing spots. So by listening to their experiences, I can identify pollution hotspots and understand real-world impacts on the local fishing community here.
Well, you know, Mark Dixon of the Strandloper project,
yes,
he has done a lot of research on this, and I hope you and Mark can get together sometime.
Definitely.
Also for him to give you some inputs on that.
That would be amazing.
What's been the response from fishermen so far?
Well, it's been incredible, to say the least.
Right.
So many fishermen are keen to share their experiences and their knowledge and perceptions on how they see the effects of plastic pollution firsthand. The key is to create solutions that are obviously collaborative and not restrictive. It's not about banning things, but finding practical ways to reduce plastic waste and improve ocean health without harming livelihoods.
Without life and also pleasure. You know,
exactly.
Because a lot of the fishing is for pleasure, of course.
Definitely.
What do you hope to achieve with your finding?
My biggest goal would be real-world solutions, ideally. So my research could be used by scientists to help map out how microplastics are moving through marine ecosystems. For policymakers, this research would hopefully guide better plastic mm-hmm. waste management strategies. And then for fishermen and local communities here in Mossel Bay, it's obviously about raising awareness
yep.
and promoting sustainable fishing and waste disposal practices. Because at the end of the day, if the ocean suffers, so do the people who rely on it.
We are going to end off just now by learning a lot as what has been done locally by local, shall we call them citizen scientists,
yes.
which can help you a lot, obviously, in your research.
Exactly.
SFM, maak elke dag een goed vol dag.
Listeners, we have this very interesting talk this morning with Stephanie Nicolaides, that's doing a PhD on plastic. Can't we all play a part in this, please, people? But Stephanie, finally, I want to ask you, if people want to learn more or get involved, what can they do?
That is a great question. So I'd obviously love for more people to join in the conversation. If you're a fisherman, a beachgoer, a citizen scientist in the making, or just someone who loves the ocean, please reach out. I'd be happy to share more about the research with you.
Yeah.
And small changes obviously also go a long way. People need to become a lot more conscious in reducing their plastic usage, join beach cleanup efforts, or just spread awareness. It all starts at home. At the end of the day, science alone won't fix this problem. We need collective action. And my research is all about bridging the gap between scientific knowledge and real-world solutions that actually and hopefully will make a difference to our planet.
The problem is people see no advantage in putting plastic into bins. I was driving yesterday back home, and a lady next to me takes her cigarette butt and she just flicks it onto the street.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's become common practice.
Yeah, it's become common practice, and we don't think about the results.
No.
But what you are doing and what we must make people aware of is that
our long-term
whatever
impacts
we throw away goes to the ocean somewhere, because the ocean is the lowest point that it collects all the rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes back to us by way of the food chain.
Oh, definitely.
So, maybe our cancers and a lot of the diseases that we are suffering from today is as a result of the pollution that we put into the water and into the oceans. It's fantastic to talk to somebody like you. Donna Bay had a beach cleanup last week with a number of good role players. It seems like the beach cleanups is now being organized a lot by the community, and also
definitely
by people like Smart, who's having a beach cleanup next week on the 23rd. Now, I've invited you to that, but unfortunately, you won't be here to do that. But we hope that we have you to return one of these days and very soon, so we can take this conversation and the motivation a little bit further.
Definitely.
So that our communities can see there's an advantage for them.
Yes.
Because unless people feel there's an advantage to themselves, they're not going to do anything about it. If they think it's somebody else's problem, they just won't do anything.
Okay.
Stephanie, thank you very much, and good luck with your research. And we hope that the science will also motivate the role players.
Thank you for the time and the opportunity, Fred. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you very much. And do you want to give your contact details?
Yes, I can include my email maybe in a post at the end, or should I give my email?
Give us your email now.
Okay, my email is sgnicolaides, that's NICOLAIDES, 22@gmail.com.
Please repeat.
So that's sgnicolaides, 22@gmail.com.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And can I end off with one of the great Greek philosophers, what he said, Nicolaides, is about 3,200 years ago.
Yes.
And as, or 2,300 years ago, as Reagan would have said, I wasn't actually there to hear him say it, but he said that, education is bitter, but the
fruits are sweet.
Thereof. Repeat that.
The fruits are sweet.
The fruits are sweet.
Yes.
Education is bitter, but the fruits are sweet. Thank you very much, Stephanie, listeners for joining in our program.
Thank you.
Hierdie program was vir jou gebring deur Sandpiper Cottages in Bochum's Bay. Weggesteek in 'n ongerepte baai in Bavaria, off the beaten track, slegs 30 km vanaf Mosselbaai. Kontak Sandpiper Cottages via hulle webwerf sandpiper.co.za of per WhatsApp 081-071-6735.
Adverteer jou besigheid vandag nog op SFM. Vir meer inligting skakel SFM gerus by 044-801-7811.